Jesus wants to dwell in our hearts, but we've got to let him in. And perhaps in your life right now, Jesus has been knocking. Maybe he's been knocking for a long time. Maybe you've just turned the music up really loud and now you can't hear that knocking. Maybe you're just video games and you're not listening. I can't hear it. And Jesus has been knocking. It's time to let him in, because it's only in Jesus that we can be satisfied.
Worship Generation Radio presents Pastor Nate Gallagher of the Factory Youth, a ministry of Calvary Chapel, Vero Beach. We are currently making our way through the book of Ephesians in a series called Built to Last. The Apostle Paul writes to this church in Ephesus with some key information on how to be a well-rounded Christian. Paul's goal isn't to see people walk with God for a limited time, but for a lifetime. Turn in your Bibles to the book of Ephesians for today's message with Pastor Nate. Salvation is done.
Paul writing, to me, who am less than the least of all the saints, this grace was given, that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable, everyone say unsearchable, unsearchable riches of Christ, and to make all see what is the fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of the ages has been hidden in God, who created all things through Jesus Christ, to the intent that now the manifold wisdom of God might be made known by the church to the principalities and powers in the heavenly places, according to the eternal purpose which he accomplished in Christ Jesus our Lord, in whom we have boldness and access with confidence through faith in him. Side note. So he talks about this mystery. He says that God has given us this revelation of this mystery, and he talks about that more in the previous verses. Now, the mystery that he's speaking about is not like a Sherlock Holmes mystery. You guys know where, like, Sherlock is on the case, and he's got his hat on, and he's got his little magnifying glass, and he knows that something's up. He knows that there's crime afoot, you know, and he's out there, and he's looking around, and he sees a footprint where there shouldn't be a footprint, and then he follows that's not the kind of mystery. The idea here is that this mystery could be unknown until it was known. This mystery could not be known until it was known. It's kind of like, to put it sort of simply that we can understand, let's say I give you a present, and you have no idea, it's not for your birthday, it's not like you asked for it for anything, I just gave you a present. And you could not know, unless you were spying on me or you overheard, but you could not know what was in that box, correct? You wouldn't be able to know until you opened the box and found out what was inside. And the mystery that Paul writes about is something that could not be known until Jesus, in a sense, has opened the box and made it known. And what that mystery was is what we talked about last week, is that salvation has been given to everybody. That the Gentiles and Jews alike can all be saved. And that was a mystery before. Before Jesus came, the Jews did not know that salvation was given to the Gentiles. But now that box has been opened, or the lights have been turned on, and now everyone can understand the mystery. And that mystery is that Jews and Gentiles, through faith in Jesus, can have access to God. Make sense? All right, that's the mystery he speaks of. And then he says in verse 13, therefore, I ask that you do not lose heart at my tribulations for you, which is your glory. For this reason, I bow my knees to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, from whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant to you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might through his spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the width and length and depth and height, to know the love of Christ which passes knowledge. To know the love of Christ, that passes knowledge, that's what he prays for us, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. To him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us, to him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus to all generations forever and ever. Amen. Paul, in the beginning of this chapter, we didn't read it, we'll look at it right now, chapter 3, verse 1, he says, "For this reason, I, Paul, the prisoner of the Christ Jesus for you Gentiles, for this reason, I, comma." And then after that comma, all the way until verse 14, he doesn't get to this sentence that he started. So he says, "For this reason, I," and you expect this is the reason that he writes. And then for 12 verses, he writes, or 13 verses, he writes about, my math is terrible, 13 verses, he writes these other things until finally he gets to his purpose for writing in verse 14. And his purpose for writing this section of this letter is to speak about, or is to tell them that he is praying for them. So he says, "For this reason I," in verse 1, and then he repeats himself in verse 13, "For this reason I bow my knees to Christ Jesus." So that's what he was trying to get to in verse 1, but it took him 13 verses to get there. And he's praying for the Ephesians once again. Remember in chapter 1, we talked about that Paul was praying for the Ephesians, and what he prayed for the Ephesians is that they would get more God, that they wouldn't get more from God, but that they would get more God. Because a lot of times we view prayer as a way that we can get something from God. God, I need you to bless my life. Lord, I need you to help me pass this test. Lord, I need you to help me find a girlfriend, etc., etc. That's not the purpose of prayer. The purpose of prayer is to get more of God. And so Paul, he prays that for the Ephesians. And now in the second prayer for them, his prayer is that they would be filled with the fullness of God. I'm kind of drawn to the word filled with the fullness when we're reading this text. Part of the reason is because, I don't know about you, but I have a really hard time getting filled. Anybody else have this struggle? Like, always hungry. And I'm not really a snacker. Some of you guys may be snackers. I'm not really a snacker. I just like to eat a lot of meals a day. Like, full course meals. Like, let's do a big meal a lot of times a day. And then on top of that, I have to eat really late at night. Hannah and I both, we have to eat really late at night because if we don't, 8 o'clock will come around and we're hungry again. We have to eat and go to sleep. So that way it's like we won't be awake to get hungry again. I'm just hungry all the time and I have a hard time being filled. Now let me ask you a question. When was the last time you felt filled by God? The last time where you left somewhere and you said, "I feel full of God. I have enough. I feel like I'm completely full of God. It's just bubbling out of me. I am filled with God." I feel like this is something that we don't often feel. That there are a lot of times in our life, in a lot of situations in our life, that we wish we were a little bit more full of God because the way we're acting is like somebody that's on E. You know what I'm saying? Like you look at your life and like, dude, you need to hit up the gas station. You need a refill because you are not acting as if you are filled with God. And Paul's prayer, what he literally says, "I am on my knees praying for you," is that you would be filled with the fullness of God. Paul, he makes it clear that it is a big deal for him that he is literally, he says that, "For this reason, I bow my knees to the Father." He is literally getting on his knees, hands together like you do in Sunday school, to pray for the Ephesians. And his prayer is that they would be filled with the fullness of God. Now, what does that mean exactly, that they would be filled? Another word for filled is content. You guys heard that word, content? Basically means to be satisfied, to be happy. After you've eaten a meal, you go, "I am content. I don't need to eat for another half an hour. I feel full." I think in our world, being filled and content are something not easily obtained. People have everything that they could ever imagine, and yet they are not content. They've got mansions, they've got 8 cars in their garages, they've got swimming pools, they've got power, they've got fame, they have relationships, they have everything that there is, and yet they're not content. And Paul, in this section, I believe, gives us the ingredients for us to feel content in this life. For us to be filled with the fullness of God to where it affects, it bubbles over into every aspect of our life. And no longer do we feel like we have to chase these other things to fill our lives and to fill our time with, but we can focus on these things that God has given us that will fill us with the fullness of God. The first way Paul shows us that we can be filled in this life is by making sure we never get used to the grace of God. I wrote this down. First point, I wrote it down on my note card. I said, your space should never outgrow God's grace. Your space should never outgrow God's grace. Look at what he says in verse 8. Paul writing, verse 8. He says, to me, who am less than the least of all the saints, this grace was given. To me, Paul, who am less than the least of all the saints, I've been given grace. Paul was an apostle by the will of God, considered to be later by one of the 12 apostles of Jesus Christ, and he views himself as less than the least of all the saints. Paul feels as if he is at the bottom of the list of every Christian. Paul. We know Paul's life. We've heard of Paul. He's the guy that was used, one of the most used individuals by God ever. He wrote 13 of the 21 New Testament letters. He planted churches all across the known world. He preached to soldiers and governors and kings. He was responsible for bringing the gospel to the Gentiles. And Paul says, he writes in his letter, me, Paul, am the least of all the saints. And if you follow Paul's letter, it almost seems like in his letters, there's like a gradual decline, where at first he's like, Paul, an apostle. And then later he's like, Paul, the least of the apostles. And then later, forget that, I'm the least of every Christian who has ever lived. I'm just the bottom of the barrel. Like Paul, and the reason I believe that Paul gets like this is because he becomes overwhelmed with the grace of God. The more he was used by God, the more desperate he became for God's grace, because the more he realized he needed it. It's interesting how quickly we can go from being grateful for something to feel like we deserve something. Have you ever been like that? Where at one minute you're like, oh my gosh, I can't believe I'm getting this, till later on you feel like you owe this to me. One time, when Hannah and I got married in our honeymoon, we went to California, and we went to this movie theater in San Diego. And it was pretty expensive, but it was worth it. So you go in, and you have to book your tickets in ahead of time, and you pick where you want to sit, and then you go in, and there's full-on Lazy Boy recliners in the movie theater. Like, no joke, like feet up, like stretch back. Then there's like this menu like that's like an iPad that you can summon a waitress or a waiter at any time during the film, and they'll bring you whatever you want. You could get a milkshake, you could get popcorn, you could get sushi, no joke, during the movie at the click of a button. Now, as you could imagine, when we first walked in, we felt a little overwhelmed. Oh my gosh, there's Lazy Boy recliners, there's sushi and milkshakes. Like, that's a terrible combination, but I don't care. I want it anyways. Like, just overwhelmed. And then, the next time we visit a movie theater, we felt like we were peasants. We're like, where's the iPad that I can summon the waitress? Where's the feet up? Where's the recliner? What's happening? And so quickly we can go to, I deserve this. This is mine now. And what Paul does is he doesn't feel like he deserves God's grace. And the more he is used by God, the more he realizes how undeserving of God's grace he is. Because as soon as we get used to his grace and we feel like we deserve it, there will be no more room for it in our lives. And we need to always have room for God's grace. 2 Peter 3:18 says this on the screen. It says, but grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Grow in God's grace. We need to continually be growing in God's grace. And we need to make sure for us personally that our space never outgrows God's grace, that there's always room for the grace of God, because we are always in need of the grace of God. The second way that Paul tells us that we are filled with the fullness of God is by showing us where we are filled from. I wrote this down, second point. The supply won't stop if the demand doesn't stop. The supply won't stop if the demand doesn't stop. Anybody take economics here? Supply and demand, you guys know that? This is my best attempt at understanding economics. Here we go. Supply and demand are economics terms. Supply is in reference to the manufacturer, and the demand is in reference to the buyer. The product is made according to how it's being purchased, correct? So if we're making Beanie Babies, there was a time where Beanie Babies were flying off the shelves. Everybody needed Beanie Babies, and you kept the tag on them just in case they were worth more later. But now you've just got too many Beanie Babies and you don't know what to do with them because the demand for Beanie Babies is gone. Does that make sense? The supply, we'd make a ton of them dependent on it being purchased. If the product stops being bought, the product stops being made. Does that make sense? And so verse 16 tells us this. It says that he, God, would grant to you according to the riches of his glory. That he would grant to you according to the riches of his glory. That's where we're filled from. We're filled from the riches of God's glories. And he says that God would grant us from the riches of his glory. God fills us from his riches, and his riches, listen, do not run out. But the supply comes when the demand is high. When we are in desperate need for God and we need him to fill us with the riches of his glory, when we want it, we need to desire to be filled with the fullness of God in order to be filled. And one of the main things about product marketing is making the buyer feel like they need the product. Like, you can't live without this, right? You've seen those infomercials? Like, you better call now because you cannot live another day without this product. Like, what, more space in your closet for shoes? I don't know. Like, you can't live without it. And with us, we need to understand that we truly cannot live without God. That we need him to fill our lives to overflowing. And when we recognize this and we desire to be filled, he's going to fill us. Because it's from his abundance. He's got more than we could ever need. We also need to recognize that our filling comes from God's riches. From God's riches. We need to understand that. Our filling comes from God's riches, not man's riches. Not what you have, but what God has. And we will never be filled with earth's riches. If we're looking to be filled, we will never be full unless we're asking for God to supply us from his abundance, not by looking out and being supplied with whatever the world might offer. We can only be filled through the riches of his glory. Now, what is he filling us with? Verse 20 says this, "Now to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think according to the power that works in us." God has more than we could ever ask or imagine or think of, and God wants to give it to us. Think of it, God's got better plans for you. Think of it, he's got something more exciting for you above whatever we could ask or think. And God wants to fill us, but we need to want it. So the supply won't stop if the demand doesn't stop. So we need to always be in constant demand for God's filling. The third way that Paul tells us that he's praying for us and how we will be filled with the fullness of God is that when Jesus dwells in our hearts, he says. And I wrote this down, point three, Jesus is not an addition, he is a renovation. A lot of people think that Jesus coming into their hearts is simply an addition to their lives. You guys heard that term before, asking Jesus into your hearts? That's something that we do, especially in children's ministry. Like kids' classes, like you, everyone, bow your heads and close your eyes. But this idea that Jesus would dwell in our hearts, we hear that a lot in Sunday school, but it's actually something that Paul writes about, that he desires that Jesus would dwell in our hearts. Now, a lot of people think that when Jesus dwells into their hearts, it's simply an addition to their lives. Like, we ask Jesus into our hearts, and let's say the stage is our hearts. So Jesus, he's knocking on the door of our hearts, comes in, and then there's the space for you, Jesus. Come dwell in my heart. Don't touch anything. Don't move anything. Don't change anything. But come dwell in my heart. And a lot of people think that Jesus just sort of finds his place and settles in, and he doesn't really touch anything, and he definitely doesn't break or move anything. It's just a little addition. You know, it's just to spruce it up a little. Like, we needed a new rug, and so, Jesus, come hang out. But that's not it. Jesus has not come as an addition to where he, like, finds his little nook and settles in. He comes and he takes over and completely changes our lives. And he goes, nope, this has got to go. You have way too much space for this in your life. It's got to go. This does not even belong. What are you doing with this in your heart? This needs to go. And he comes and he takes center stage in our hearts. He makes his home in our hearts, and he makes our heart his home. He takes center stage in our hearts. It's not an addition. It's a complete renovation. And when he does it, he puts the things into their proper place, and he fills us with his grace. And listen, you cannot be content in life apart from Jesus at the center. You can't. Unless Jesus is dwelling in your hearts, you cannot be content in life. The Bible says in Ecclesiastes that we have eternity stamped in our hearts. In other words, our hearts are designed to have Jesus in them. And when he is not in them, we're empty. Because eternity is stamped in our hearts. And Jesus deserves center stage. There is a place for him at center stage in our hearts. And if he's not there, then we will not be filled. And Jesus comes in and he fills us and he gives us completion and he gives us contentment. And he doesn't come in as an addition to our current life, but he completely remodels. And he does so, he remodels, he changes things to fill us with the things that he wants to fill us with. He gets rid of the things, not just because he wants to make us feel empty and like everything that we thought was fun, he's getting rid of. He wants to get rid of those things because he has better things for us. He wants to fill us with things that are way better than what we are cluttering our heart with. And until we recognize our need for Jesus, we will never be full. And once we invite him in, he fills us to overflowing. Romans 15, verse 13 says this: May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. That you would overflow with hope. And we have to invite him in order to experience this. Revelation 3, verse 20, Jesus speaking, he says this: Behold, I stand at the door and knock. And if anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come into him and dine with him and he with me. Jesus wants to dwell in our hearts, but we've got to let him in. And perhaps in your life right now, Jesus has been knocking. Maybe he's been knocking for a long time. Maybe you've just turned the music up really loud and now you can't hear that knocking. Maybe you're just video games and you're not listening. I can't hear it. And Jesus has been knocking. It's time to let him in, because it's only in Jesus that we can be satisfied. Fourth thing, number four, Paul also prays that we'd be rooted and grounded in Christ's love. I wrote this down. Our roots must be deep to be filled to the peak. Paul's prayer is that they would be rooted and grounded in Christ's love. And that Christ's love, when we're rooted and grounded in it, it will infiltrate every area and aspect of our lives. And Paul said that Christ's love is wide, is long, is deep, and is high, which I think is such a beautiful statement. One commentator said that Christ's love is wide enough to include everyone. It's long enough to last forever. It's deep enough to reach even the worst of sinner. And it's high enough to take us to heaven. That Christ's love covers everything that we need. There is no limit to Christ's love. And when we recognize that, and that he loves us at our best and at our worst, and that his love is not based upon our performance, but what Christ has done, it should fill us with joy and with peace and with hope to overflowing. When we are established in Christ's love, and Christ's love has affected every part of our being, because we recognize that we didn't deserve this kind of love, that Jesus died for us while we were yet sinners. He died for us. He laid down his life for us. And when we think about that, And his love affects our lives and it infiltrates our hearts, even the dark and secret areas of our hearts. It should change everything about us and it should fill us to overflowing with joy and with peace and with hope.
Thank you for listening to today's study presented by Worship Generation Radio. If you would like to listen again or hear more of Pastor Nate's teaching, visit us online at ccvb.net/thefactorypodcast. You can keep up with all that is going on with Pastor Nate or The Factory by following on Instagram at Nate M. Gallagher or at The Factory Youth. If this message has blessed you, we would love to hear about it. Send an email to church@ccvb.net. Join us next time as we continue studying the Bible with Pastor Nate Gallagher.